Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Somehow, God is in me, and there's a sense in which I am like God and man all at once.
Many religions claim that we will all eventually be gods. The Bible says something so much better. It says, no, God will continue to be God. Man will continue to be man, but God will come upon man.
No way!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Don't you just hate it when people do this? This is Wretched Radio. So Jimmy leaves the studio to go down the street to find himself a cool beverage.
Yes.
What happened, Jimmy?
My debit card did not work.
Mm-hmm.
And it can't be because you don't pay me enough money. That's not it. No. For some reason, it wouldn't swipe on the machine. It kept making that noise.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah, well, obviously your debit card's never been declined.
Believe me, it has. That little chip business. The problem is you put it in and out of your wallet, the chip wears out before the credit card expires. So if you're a banker, could you please get on this and fix the problem? So the thing doesn't work, so you put the beverage away and came back.
No. I tried 3 or 4 times, and I was about to put it back, and the gentleman in the line next to me reached in his pocket and paid for my order,
yes.
My purchase.
And who was this gentleman?
He worked for FedEx.
That's nice. Anything else we might know about this fellow?
Yeah, he was black.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that to be...
No.
Okay.
Before you can pontificate on your beverage experience, let me tell you what happened to me at lunch, pal.
Okay.
Don't you love it when people do that? In fact, tell me we don't all have that propensity. Somebody tells you something and the immediate response is your take on it or your own experience with it.
Mm.
Somebody could walk up to me and go, you know, I was just minding my own business walking down the street when a hubcap flew off and it severed my left leg completely from my body. Yeah, let me tell you about the time I was walking down the street. It just doesn't matter. We just me. So I go to the Zaxby's to pick up some lunch and I made a big mistake. I ordered the meal and I got the French fries and I only ate about 6 of them, but I'm telling you, it's like a mule kick to the guts just with the deep fried business. Then I'm stuck in the line. So I'm in the queue and you can't get out when you realize you don't have your wallet. So I pull up to the window and there's the same woman that I've seen for years. And I said, I am so sorry. I hope you haven't made it yet because I asked for extra seasoned salt on the fries that are about to make me sick. But I don't have my wallet. And you know what she did? She bought me lunch.
Oh,
she
wow.
said, I'll use my credit card. And I'm like, oh, that is so nice. And she is a Hindu.
Mm.
Now, why would we bring up those two attributes of these people? Well, first of all, because that's what our culture does. To make sure we all stay nice and divided, we make sure that you identify by skin color and not by anything else. Furthermore, this is my contention. And Jimmy, I suspect this is what your pontification was going to be about. What was your takeaway from a black man helping you, a white man, giving you a beverage?
Wow, he really doesn't hate me.
Yeah, right. That's right. Okay. It's tragic that thoughts like that have to come to our mind. I'm telling you, I never used to think like that until recently, where I'm getting your message. I'm picking up what you're putting down. I'm white, so people who aren't hate me. That's the message. And I think it's worth noting that Jimmy's experience is not singular. I'm thrilled about this, to be honest, that in Atlanta, I can't recall the percentage of what the population is, but it's far more mixed here than certainly where I come from in the Midwest. And so I'm regularly meeting people with a different skin color. Because that's our marker these days. And we get along swell. Despite the narrative, I think on the individual level, I don't think things are as evil and awful as they are made out to be in the public media with the news stories, the debates, the sign is that tells me what a problem I am, the canceling of this, the doxing of that, the decolonizing your bookshelf, all of that. It's afoot, but I just don't think the majority of folks, nope, this is not science-based, this is subjective, but it's also based on experience. On the individual basis, we're getting along just fine. Thank you very much. There's acts of kindness going on, and I hate that we have to be reminded of this, but I think it helps us with our hearts, because how do you respond when you're told perpetually you're bad? You get a little bit agitated. You don't care for the people who keep ringing that bell and making that accusation over and over again. And sin. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to sin. I don't want to be unloving. I'm commanded to love. There is an inner and outer circle, the church first, my family first, my church first, then everybody else on the planet. Believers, we do huddle together and take care of one another's needs, but we're also to love those people who are outside of the church. Why? Because God is love. In this is love. He died for really hateful, horrible people. And I'm called to be loving too. And I'm telling you, I'm committed to not buying the narrative and swallowing what they're trying to force feed me. I ain't buying what you're selling, world system. Be encouraged. It's perhaps not as bad as it's made out to be. Black and white are still getting along. I'm getting along just fine with my Hindu friend at Zaxby's. A little more seasoned salt would be nice. But other than that, I'm still grateful for the food that she bought for me, because I go there that much. That's so tragic. And speaking of unbelievers, permit me to share with you, count them, 8 questions you can ask an atheist. How should you ask these questions? Lovingly, not aggressively. So let's see if we can learn some clever questions that help reveal the truth of the gospel, and if we can do it in a way that isn't gotcha, because these questions are gotcha questions. They're kind of front-end loaded, but I don't want to deliver it in such a way that people perceive I'm coming at you. If you can jump over that hurdle, your witness encounters, they're going to go better. Here we go. 8 polemical questions for atheists. Number 1, if evolution is true, why do we have hospitals? Well, what do you mean, why do we have hospitals? So we can take care of sick people. I know, but evolution says sick people should die. That's what evolution is all about. The weaker ones, you know, out of here. And then we stronger ones can survive, making the race stronger, by the way, which we're also told is a good thing without any evolutionary explanation why we would want that. Question number 2. Why do you think atheists are responsible for the overwhelming number of deaths in the 20th century? Now, that is not a definitive gotcha sort of question, but it's at least framed in a way that brings about conversation. Hey, my atheist friend, historically, most wars, 20th century, bloodiest century ever, started by atheists. What do you do with that? How do you sleep at night going, yeah, you know, it's okay. Yes, some atheists do some bad things. Tell me about that. Now, do I have to win that point? No. But I'm just asking questions that hopefully will lead to more than a pebble in the shoe. Number 3, why should an atheist go out of his way to help? Number 4, why do atheists have kids? You can hear the theme here. Evolution would say there's no reason to do this. Kids, they're expensive. They demand a lot. Sure, you might get some pleasure out of it, but at what cost? You shouldn't be having kids if you want to flourish, because that is what the evolutionary worldview teaches. Self. Question, if nothing is objectively true, then why would it be bad for me to hurt you if I think that it is good? Tell me. Another similar sort of question. If you believe that we should, if I believed rather, that we should kill people with an IQ of less than 100, what moral ground would you have to stop me? Great question. They have none. In fact, the reality is evolution, rightly applied, as it was in the 20th century, to the demise of a lot of people, to the sterilization of a lot of people. Evolution should teach you that we actually should make an effort to get rid of the, what were they called? Oh, yes, feeble-minded. Was Adolf Hitler bad? Why? Number 8, why should we war against pandemics? Wouldn't it be better that the weak perished instead of lived? Why do we do these kind of things? Spend money, suffer personal loss in order for people, somebody that we don't even know perhaps, to have a gain. And the answer, of course, to any of these questions is they don't have an answer to these questions. Is it going to get anybody saved? No. Are they designed to just win an argument or speed bag somebody into a corner? No. But it is to hopefully help them understand that their atheistic worldview is busted. This is Wretched Radio. You say Edith in Romania, they say Edith.
Burdened by the hopelessness surrounding her, Edith prayed for a way to bring the gospel to Çocalı. Since she started in 2008, she has discipled more than 100 children in this small village, and countless lives have been changed.
If you have never been to Romania, permit me to draw the picture. Think poor, forsaken, dead town in the middle of nowhere. That is where the Tomorrow Clubs thrive. Kids clubs bringing the gospel to small villages. The kids get saved. The parents get saved. The church gets revitalized. And this is happening all over Eastern Europe, courtesy of the Tomorrow Clubs and you. $30 a month, 30 disciples. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Clubs? TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Hey, thank you so much for being here today at Wretched Radio. If you didn't listen, we'd be doing this to... Well, I'm not exactly sure why we'd be doing it, but by the grace of God, you are listening. You choose to tune in here every day, and for that, we are thankful. And we'd also be grateful if you would prayerfully consider joining our mission in reaching millions around the world with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We also strive to equip people to preach the gospel and to help strengthen the local church. You can join our efforts by becoming a monthly gospel partner. Wretched will always honor your generosity with faithful stewardship and full accountability, because we fully understand without you, there would be no us. We would be eternally grateful if you would consider partnering with us by visiting wretched.org/donate or by texting the word wretched to the number 44321. That's wretched.org/donate or text the word wretched to 44321. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Surprise! I continue to be surprised by MediShare, even though I researched it like nobody's business before Mrs. Friel and I committed to affordable, biblical health sharing as opposed to our traditional insurance plan. I researched, but I did not know all of the things that I'm discovering about MediShare. For instance, people are way more satisfied after making the switch. The customer satisfaction rate is double that of typical health insurance plans. Double. Is MediShare right for everyone? No, nothing really is. But it might be right for your family, and you might be very, very happy with it, especially when you're saving on average $500 per month per family. Interested? Learn more at MediShare.com/wretched or receive a quote within 2 minutes by calling 844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE.
Books of the Bible. Jude was the brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wrote an epistle to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. He contends for the faith with a passionate and vehement attack against false teachers. When you want to know God's concern for the truth, Jude has 25 intense verses just for you. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, Jerusalem. This is Wretched Radio. Jerusalem right now. A little more at risk than it was, what, about a week ago when Netanyahu was voted out by one whopping vote. We'll see how things go in the nation's capital of Israel. That's right. I went ahead and said it. The nation's capital of Israel being Jerusalem. Another reason to keep an eye on Jerusalem is, it might be time for the second coming. How do I know? Headline. Rare ring of fire solar eclipse to appear on... Well, this is a little bit dated now. It was in June, the middle of June, just weeks after super blood moon lunar eclipse. Oh, you know what a super blood moon lunar eclipse means, don't you, Jerusalem? Means somebody's going to do a sermon series, write a book, and profit from it. That's what that means. Do you remember that trend? The blood moon trend. I think that Jesus was going to return was the idea. Seems to me that when you make predictions and they're wrong, you're out of business. At least that used to be the standard. And many false prophecies have been made that are clearly not coming to fulfillment, not the least of which was, oh, the blood moon. Oh, Jimmy, do you remember was it the second coming, I think?
Yes, it signifies the second coming, or is supposed to.
I'm sorry, I was just drinking a beverage. You know what I was drinking?
What's that?
My free Zaxby soda. I don't want to one-up you, pal, but you just got a beverage. I got a chicken sandwich.
You know, I do have a question about that.
Oh, no. What?
Didn't you know you didn't have your wallet before you left?
Oh, I did.
That's all I heard about all morning.
I did. My wallet, it's taken wings yet again. See, normally, I put my keys with it. That way, I can't escape without bringing it with. No, I get into the car like a dodo. One mission. To Zaxby's I go. It was getting stuck in the queue. And then I was locked in. If I had known it beforehand, I wouldn't have done it. But my friend bought me lunch. Speaking of questions and blood moons, for your consideration, some questions for you to ask your Bible. Questions that will keep you from falling into blood moon schemes and lunar eclipse, it's the end of the age predictions. And it will keep you from following false teachers. It'll allow you to recognize true theology. If you ask your Bible questions, interrogate it constantly. We live in an era where everything gets deconstructed, especially literature. This awful French philosophy of reading between the lines literally. What is the meaning of the story? Well, what wasn't said? What? Yeah, what wasn't said? That's the meaning of the story. Actually, shouldn't it be what was said? That's the meaning of the story. No, not with deconstruction. See, it's more clever than that. You got to get in there and figure out what the author didn't say, because that's what he was really wanting to say. Okay. Look, do I have to do crack to participate in this literature game? Because I don't know that I can do what you're talking about without shrooms. I think that's a hallucinogenic, isn't it?
Yes.
How do you know? 14 questions to ask your Bible. Good reminders. This is biblical hermeneutics. Normally, I would sneak in a plug for Herman Who with study guide available at wretched.org, but I'm not going to do that. I'll just get right to it. Who's the author of the passage? You want to know that. If you received a letter without a return address or name, and it said, "Dear fill in the blank, this is very important. I'm writing to tell you how much I love you and everything that I'd like to do for you. Sincerely, nothing." You could be like, whoa, why? This makes a difference here. Who is this person? What are they told? They love me. They want to give me what? You'd have all kinds of questions that would be answered if it turns out it was your mother. Oh, of course. Oh, yeah, right. Okay. Or a sibling. Or the neighbor you don't get along with. Wait, whoa, what? It changes much. Same thing is true with the Bible. Number two. Who are the recipients? Who is getting it? Mature Christians, immature Christians, believers in captivity, out of captivity, thriving, flourishing, struggling. You need to know those things if you don't want to buy into the blood moon scheme. That's what I'm trying to say. Number three, what is the historical background of the passage? Okay, I'm serious about the memory business. Forgetting my wallet again, I go through the bookshelves at home because I've got a fair amount of books I have not completed yet. I pick out this book and it said, it was a little fat book too. Can I use the word book or was that offensive? I'm sorry. And it was the World Jesus Knew. I think that was the name of it. I don't, oh, this is interesting. And the subtitle basically was, and what was it? What was first century life like in Israel when our Savior walked the planet? Oh, that would be cool. I opened it up. I'd already read the whole thing. Whole thing was highlighted, marked up. It's mine. I can tell. I've already read it. I remember none of it. Man, Zaxby's seems to be the least of my problems, doesn't it? What's the historical background? Read books like that. Read Christian biblical encyclopedias. Read books that talk about what was going on at the time the book was being written. It'll help you. Number four, what is the outline or structure of the passage? You want to get a lot out of a passage. If you're struggling in your private quiet time, here's an assignment for you. I'm going to challenge you, especially if, and this is a good thing, you are dedicated to reading X amount of scripture per day. Could I just encourage you, maybe take a day off of that program. You're not going to abandon the Bible. Take one Bible verse and diagram it. It will explode for you. Now, you might have to go watch a tutorial on diagramming sentences because it's been a bit of a stint since you've had to do that chore that you thought was worthless when you were in high school. You outline the passage. Whoa, that's the main verb. That's the supporting verb. Go to Matthew 28:19. While going, make disciples. Wait a second. What's the prominent verb here? It's an imperative. So I need to understand the way that the words are used. What are the prepositional phrases here? What are the indications of that? What are the adjectives? And you will learn a lot about a Bible verse and how to apply what you learned in high school. Number four, what is struggling? Five, are any words repeated? Any significance to the repetition? I don't think that I've got it in this particular Bible, but a good example of read Ephesians 1 and 2. Go look for repeated words. See what Paul is trying to emphasize. Take a look at Colossians, and you better have a pen that's got some ink in it. Circle the word all in Colossians, and you're going to discover, whoa, Paul is really trying to make a point here about all the fullness of God in Jesus Christ. And over again with the word all, pointing to Jesus to make him supreme. To demonstrate there's other stuff and there's Jesus. Circle repeated words. You'll be glad you. Here's another one. Start in 1 John 3 and go all the way through chapter 4. Circle the word love and see how much loving John talks about. A lot. Are there unusual words in the passage that call for more exploration? You see kind of that's an interesting word. Go look it up. Seven, how does the passage fit into the surrounding paragraph, into the surrounding chapter, into the surrounding book? Why did the author place the passage here and not someplace else? In one sentence, what's the main point of the passage? That's what does it say? What's the point? Tell me what the point is. And that's going to be different than your translation or your interpretation, by the way. How would the original audience have been affected by the passage? That's how you should be affected too. No more, no less. How does the passage connect to the overall storyline of the Bible? How does this passage reveal Jesus as Savior? Does every single verse somehow point to Jesus? Not that specifically, but certainly the entire book does, because all books lead to Jesus. See if your verse isn't trying to do that. 13, how does God want this passage to function in my life? Doesn't matter what I think about the verse. What does God think about it, and what does he want me to do with it? Which is question 14, what kind of response does this passage call for? You start asking any of those questions, your Bible reading, it's going to explode. And I don't mean that in one of those nasty bus bombings in Israel. It will come to life for you. Now, the more you do this, you're thinking, 14 questions every time I read a Bible verse? Start that way. And suddenly these things will just become a part of the fabric of your noggin. And as you read the Bible, you will intuitively be applying these questions. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I am Jimmy Hicks, and I am going to teach you once again just how racist you are. Cornell University has introduced a brand new course in their studies titled Black Holes, Race and the Cosmos, and it explores the connection between the decades-old term black holes and racism. And obviously, you couldn't expect anything less from an Ivy League university who charges $60,000+ per year for tuition. Universities have basically become leftist indoctrinating sites, pumping out woke soldiers who are searching for microaggressive racism in all corners of the world. But if you reach the corners of the world and you don't find any more racism, well, now apparently you can leave the planet and head to outer space. More Americans believe transgender athletes should only play on teams that correspond to their birth sex, according to a new poll by, get this, CBS News, and it mirrors an earlier Gallup survey. Just over 2,000 U.S. adults, and it found that 60% believe that transgender athletes should only be allowed to play on the team that matches the sex that they were born as, while 40% say such athletes should be allowed to play on the team that matches their gender that they consider themselves to be. So 40% of the people in this poll are living in a fantasy world. Multiple states have passed laws that prohibit this from happening, and the current presidential administration is challenging some of those state laws. Well, speaking of wokeness and weirdness, one of the most popular children's series in television history now has a same-sex married couple as recurring characters. In an episode last week, Sesame Street introduced a married gay couple when two men, Dave and Frank, appeared alongside the spouses and family members of other characters to celebrate what the show called Family Day. Thought they already had that with Bert and Ernie. Anyway, Big Bird's grandmother, Granny Bird, came into town to celebrate Family Day. Other characters had mothers and fathers, step-parents and step-siblings, and cousins. Nina, a bicycle store owner on the show, wanted everyone to meet her brother Dave and his husband Frank. Of course, Sesame Street has included gay characters in the past, but they weren't recurring. But this is the type of thing that we must get used to as the world continues their attack on masculinity and the nuclear family. Well, Alberta Health Services confirmed to a news outlet that the fences surrounding Grace Life Church of Edmonton will be taken down over the next week. The property, which has been fenced off since April 7th, will be returned to the church on July 1st. When the fences were first put up in April, the health agency stated that it would only remove them if the church demonstrated that it could comply with public health measures designed to keep the virus from spreading. In the same month, protesters tried to rip apart that fence, which forced the government to dispatch 200 armored police officers in response. When the incident occurred, no one from the congregation was present. Church members have continued to post videos of Pastor James Coates preaching in unidentified locations on their social media pages every week. Following nearly a month in prison, Pastor Coates was released on March 22nd. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Know your church fathers. Theophilus of Antioch lived a pagan lifestyle until he was converted by reading the scriptures. His most notable work, Apology, was written to an unbelieving friend to show that the scriptures were self-authenticating and argued that the antiquity, clarity, and consistency of the scriptures prove their divine origin. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What kind of love is that? This is Wretched Radio. Question, who surrounds you? No, not like a ring of turkey vultures. Who lives near you? Who are your neighbors? How do you get along with people in the hood? Do you love them? Perhaps your answer is some of them. There's a few others. Don't talk very much, but maybe, just maybe, you live next to a very unlovable neighbor. And yet, loving difficult neighbors isn't optional. When Jesus said that we are to love our neighbors as ourselves, he didn't say, except that guy, love all of them. Will Anderson, writing a helpful encouragement for us to always be loving neighbors. My neighbors are inconsiderate, you say, and they might be. That happens a lot, doesn't it? Is there any place you can actually go where neighbors don't bother you, especially if you happen to be persnickety? You go into one of those developments where there's an HOA, and there's all kinds of rules, but people still break them. And then, so you go, that's it, we're out of the HOA. We're going to buy a house on just in a neighborhood. And then there's always those people who don't keep the place up, bringing your property value down. I don't think you can go anywhere, because somebody's going to get up your nose living on this planet. And we cannot use the excuse that my neighbors are inconsiderate. This from Will Anderson. Sometimes we disconnect from neighbors because they're rude. Loud music, parking in the wrong spot, smoking around the kids, using our lawn as their dog's daily bathroom, parenting in ways we wouldn't, donning a political yard sign or bumper sticker we despise. Wow. Did I write this list? This was reading me. I still have to love him. When we behold Christ's prayer of forgiveness for his executioners uttered from the cross, our pettiness vaporizes. It should. As sinners daily pardon from immense guilt, how could we stubbornly withhold forgiveness from others? You want to apply that to your neighbors? Your happiness will go up. You apply that to your marriage? Your relationship with your sweetie, it's going to get better. You apply that rule to your parenting or to being a child, and your relationship with your children or mom and dad, it's going to get sweeter. I promise you. It's just the way that it works. Right now, I actually decided I think I'm going to write another book, because as long as I'm still able to remember where my wallet is, wait a second. Where is my wallet? Come to think of it. So I'm writing this book, and it's currently titled How the World Works and How You Fit Into It. I'm thinking about where you fit into it, you know, how, where. It's kind of an important thing. At any rate, how the world works. Just as there are physical laws, I'm calling them spiritual laws. I need a better word than spiritual, so if you've got one, send me an email at idea@wretched.org and tell me what it is. The idea that God orchestrates and runs the planet the same way that he does with laws of physics, laws of biology, laws of nature, if you want to call them, laws of math, that he's the constant who stands behind all of these things, and it's the way that he's put the place together in an organized fashion in order for it to run as well as it currently does. And the same thing is true for life. How we live, God has laws. Pagan, doesn't matter. Christian, doesn't matter. You follow the way that God has designed the planet, and things are going to go better for you. Marriage is perhaps the best example. If you get married to somebody the opposite gender for the rest of your life, overall things are going to go better. And by the way, I think it's Dennis Prager, the Jewish talk show host, who regularly will say, in this country, if you get married, stay married, and get at least a high school education, and just work diligently, you will do just fine. And he's right. And that, by the way, that's sociological. You do those things and things are going to go better. Even the world, even Dennis Prager observes that. And it's true. But why is it true? Is it just, well, it just kind of works out? No, no. It's because that's the way that God designed you to live. Get married. Stay married. Get educated because God is educated. And work because God works. Do those things and things will improve and they will go overall well with the consideration of sovereignty that God might be doing something a la Job in your life with discipline because he's designed the universe to work with marriage because it's relational and he's relational, that we should be educated because he's smart and that we should be faithful. Do those things and they work because that's how the place works. Don't do them and things do not go well for you. Don't go ahead. You want your life to be crummy and miserable? Dishonor your parents a lot until they just reach the breaking point with you. Go ahead and just see how well things go compared to how sweet they can be. Well, why? Because God says this is how you should treat your parents. And if you do, life will go well. It even says that in the command, that life will go well with you. Why? Because he's designed the place to run that way. Maybe you're asking, well, where are these laws of the spiritual laws, if we can call them that, where are they located? Where's the storehouse? And the answer is God. God runs everything. God is the power source behind everything. And just like he is behind the law of gravity, he's behind the law of get married and stay married. Just like he is the author of the laws of entropy, cause and effect. He's the law of honor your parents. You do it and it's going to work for you. I'll let you know when I get done with the book. You want your marriage to go better? Start repenting. And start seeing yourself as the biggest sinner in the house. And I'm telling you something. You do sin math. Whoa. My spouse was kind of cold today. And how effusive were you with the Lord all day?
Well, that's not so much.
And you're upset at your spouse. Why? Do that. It'll change the way you treat your spouse. It'll change the way you see your neighbors when they park on your lawn. They've got their car on the curb. Whatever it is, they don't pick up their clippings from their lawn. Whatever it is, they don't clean their gutters. You can just see the leaves up there. Don't they? What's the matter with them? You know what property values are going to do? Okay, hold on. Hold on. How much have you been forgiven? Number two. My neighbors are not my primary ministry, you say. Therefore, I don't have to love them. Our geography is linked with God's sovereignty. Therefore, they are a ministry. Sometimes the doctrine of sovereignty can be a wee little bit convicting. Where you are is important. And don't lose sight of this, even as you're considering career decisions. Where have you been? What have you been doing? What has God led you through? What has he taught you? What opportunities do you have with it? That should not be discarded, especially on a whim, or I'm just kind of tired of it. Hold on. God has put you someplace. Why? Do you know where you should be? Answer, where you are. How do I know? Because you're there. If you weren't supposed to be there, you wouldn't be there. Why? Because God has you exactly where he wants you to be, and that means the neighbors you've got are a ministry. You protest, my neighbors are different from me. Yeah, they certainly are. Jesus ignored the homogenous social rules of his day, dining with religious elites, scandalous sinners. His inner circle of disciples included a zealot, a tax collector, a traitor. Following Jesus will seat you at tables that make you squirm. But you say, my neighbors want to be left alone. Okay, perhaps. Is there anything kind that we could do to show love to our neighbors? Keep inviting them? Send them some banana bread on occasion? I bring that up only because I have some at home and banana bread. It's my one weakness. Number five, you say my neighbors are hostile. Mm-hmm. If a neighbor threatens you, you might want to call the police, file a report, install a motion light, an alarm system, or move to a new neighborhood if you need to. Those are sober realities, yet prayer for a hostile neighbor and self-protection aren't mutually exclusive. That means even if they're really that bad, that nasty, there's still things you can do that are kind. Protect yourself, no doubt about it. But be praying for your neighbor and offering as much kindness as they will allow you to give. Why? Because loving our neighbor, it isn't an option, even if they're dreadful. This is Wretched Radio.
Like a lot of believers, you may be wondering how you can incorporate heartfelt worship into your private devotion times. Well, I want to introduce you to the newest resource available in the Wretched Store. It's called Face to Face, Praying the Scriptures for Intimate Worship, and it's by Dr. Kenneth Boa. Face to Face is perfect for anybody who wants to get more personal and more intimate in their private times with the Lord. And what better way to do that than actually praying God's Word back to Him? Face to Face will walk you through an accurate and biblical and intimate approach to doing just that. With prayers like, "Let me hear your unfailing love in the morning, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should walk, for to you I lift up my soul." Prayers like these will bring richness to your devotion times by connecting God's Word to your personal prayer time, and you'll learn to approach both in a new and meaningful way. Visit wretched.org/face to pick up your copy right now. wretched.org/face.
This is not a taunt. It's more like a dare. Don't ask me how that's different than a taunt. This is a double dog dare. Please try not to support preborn.org/wretched and give an ultrasound to a woman who is considering taking the life of her own child for just $28.
When I walked in for the ultrasound and I saw my baby and I heard his heartbeat, my mind changed completely. I couldn't do that to my baby. I have decided to keep it.
Oh, sorry, that would be taunting and daring. Would you please consider providing a $28 ultrasound or multiple ultrasounds through preborn.org/wretched?
I know that with support and with God by my side, I'll be able to do this, not just for me, but for my baby.
Preborn.org/wretched. I dare you not to.
The father of lies has been a murderer from the start. His MO hasn't changed in 6,000 years. He desires to deceive people into doubt, and that can ultimately lead to disjointed desires, affections, behaviors, thinking, and worship. But Jesus is much better at what he does, telling the truth and giving life abundantly. And we want to help remind you of all the promises God has given us and just how much his word is sufficient for all of our struggles. Drive-by Biblical Counseling 3 is here. It's a 63 lecture series that biblically tackles issues like abuse, self-harm, eating disorders, addictions, and suicide. Order your copy right now and start learning how to apply the truth of Scripture to your life and to your struggles. God hasn't left us empty-handed. Drive-by Biblical Counseling 3 is available right now at wretched.org/counseling3. That's wretched.org/counseling3.
Attributes of God. Can a loving God be wrathful? If God loves righteousness, loves people, and wants what is best for his creation, he must hate what runs contrary to his will. God must always respond to sin with wrath, and his wrath must be satisfied. It is either satisfied on the cross, or each person will bear God's wrath eternally in hell. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat.
Defeat the lower back. This is Wretched Radio. Spanning the globe because, well, I've been on the internet and a bunch of stuff attracted my attention, sort of like a moth to a flame, and I printed it out, wanted to share them with you. But they go together pretty much like the Bible and the Democratic Party. We call it Wide World of Christian Stories, sort of. Hey, Sweden! Clergy of Europe's largest Lutheran denomination declare their churches are trans-inclusive. Listen, listen carefully. Put your ear toward Wittenberg. See, no, hear, if you can hear. See if you can hear. See if you can hear Martin Luther spinning in his grave like a lathe. Lutherans, they posted this on a diocese website signed by 1,000 priests, deacons, and members. How far gone do you have to be gone? Well, I think this one is pretty safe, wouldn't you say? What a shame. Sweden, such a lovely place, and those little gummy fish that they make. Ah! And there they are, Lutherans that are whatever they're calling themselves. This is from Finland. This is kind of a Scandinavian tour of the world. Christian leaders face 6 years in prison for quoting the Bible on homosexuality. That's cool. Now, this is an ongoing story. We've talked about this one before. If it triggered a when this woman, I think it was years ago, quoted Romans 1, 24 through 27. That'll get you into hot water. Triggered a 2-year investigation, could land the former Finnish member of parliament in prison for up to 6 years unless she recants. It's funny they would choose that word. I thought that's kind of what we didn't like about those nasty inquisitions. And they were nasty, by the way. Prosecutors are arguing that the post citing the Apostle Paul's words verbatim, quote, violated the equality and dignity of homosexuals. You can't even hold on to what you think regarding this subject in Finland and in the West. Increasingly, this is just yet another story. I was this. This is just one. Islamic radicals kill 15 Christians in attack on baptism celebration in Burkina Faso. Nice. People are getting baptized, hopefully immersed the biblical way. When the Muslims attack and slaughter 15 people at a baptism, now does the word of the Apostle Paul saying, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved? That is what you faced in the first century. If you confessed with your mouth that anybody but emperor was Lord, you're an enemy of the state, and you could die. That's what Paul was getting at. It's not just I guess I confess Jesus, you know, I guess. No. You are willing to publicly profess it at the risk of being executed. And so they were. This feels frighteningly familiar. Getting baptized and then being with your Lord the same day. You know, I guess as wicked and awful as it is, it seems to me this is one of these things that will echo for eternity. These dear saints getting baptized and macheted, or however it was that they I didn't even want to read the story. It's a nasty business. I think kids were involved to boot. This is the blood of the martyrs, the vengeance that they are, some in heaven are calling out for. When, Lord? When? And it will be dealt with. And God will do a better job of it than we ever could. That's why vengeance is His, not ours. And if and I might do a little bit of a shout out, have you been baptized yet? I know, we don't seem to talk about that very much these days as evangelicals. We're Southern Baptists. You should be all about the baptism business, way down in baptisms in the Southern Baptist Convention, because I think that we just aren't stressing it like we once were, the way the Bible does. If you haven't been baptized, let this convict you. If you're not willing to be obedient to Christ's first command, it is highly unlikely you will obey the others. Get baptized. Hurry up. Make it snappy. It is a public testimony that you have been crucified with Christ. that you've been buried with him when he died, and that you've been raised to newness of life when he was raised from the grave. What a beautiful picture. And you paint it for the world to see and for the church to be encouraged if you would simply be obedient. What are you dilly-dallying for? Get on it. Get baptized. This baptismal clubbing is now over. Let's continue traveling around. Oh, to California we go. This is something. This is actually a big deal. One of the biggest trends, and believe me, there have been a lot of trends in evangelical Christianity, has been the purpose-driven church trend. This swamped many churches. Many churches were flipped upside down to become a purpose-driven model and not a biblical exegeting model. It was all designed pragmatically to be popular, to survey your neighborhood. Hey, we're from the church next door, but don't worry, we're different. In fact, we want our church to reflect you and your needs. What are they? We'll make our church that. That's excellent. That's like asking the kids what they want for dinner on Halloween night. It's not going to get you the best information. Saddleback pastor Rick Warren announces his search for a successor, stating timing is everything. The 67-year-old pastor is about to retire. With what might be, in the light of the three women that he just laid his hands on to ordain them as elders in his church, quote, he said that while he and Saddleback elders don't have a particular successor in mind, they'll be looking at the biblical qualifications for a pastor, except for the male part. So we're going to look at some of the biblical qualifications, basically, as long as, he stated, they're into the purpose-driven ministry model. May that model break, get buried, and never resurface again. There are so many people who lost their beloved churches. There are so many pastors who lost their beloved jobs. Because the purpose-driven model, by the way, is a take-no-prisoners sort of affair. It spells out clearly, if you've got somebody in the church who's not willing to go along with the purpose-driven process, they got to go. Nice. Very nice. We'll see what the new successor to Rick Warren. I hope she preaches well. That's all I'm saying. I just hope she's a good Bible preacher. Hey, received a bit of a review. This may or may not tell you to watch it or to not watch it, but just a bit of a heads up. Let me introduce you to Rabbi Jason Sobel. Familiar with the name? He's a spiritual advisor. He was recently on the Sid Roth program, sharing the secrets of the future that Jesus told him in heaven. Rabbi Sobel claims he first met Jesus as a Buddhist Jew during a Buddhist meditation. He's also one of the spiritual advisors on the series The Chosen. You should know that. Record percentage of Americans consider abortion morally acceptable in new poll. Uh-oh, that's going backwards, ain't it? Almost half of Americans consider, well, at least it's not the majority. It's a record percentage, but it's not the majority. Don't forget that, pro-life Christian. Almost half of Americans consider abortion to be morally acceptable. The highest percentage to think so in the past 20 years. You and I need to be pro-life apologists. I'll tell you, Scott Klusendorf absolutely smashed it out of the park. Road Trip to Truth, Season 2. Let's go to Williamsburg, shall we? I visited Colonial Williamsburg when I lived in Virginia. One of the buildings that you can visit is the Presbyterian Meeting House. This is from Matthew, by the way. The dissenting church, they explained that the Presbyterians obtained a license to have a dissenting church, but were still required to pay tithes to the established Church of England, with the understanding that money from the mandatory tithe was to benefit the poor. Since regular county business was discussed at the courthouse during the court sessions, one of the items brought up was How do we distribute this money? And do we let them become a dissenting church? You should know the Presbyterians cooperated in being happy to pay their tithes. Guess who wasn't? The Baptists. Answering the question, why were Baptists actually persecuted around the founding of our country? It's because they wouldn't support a state church. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.